Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in Deuteronomy chapter 17. Have you ever seen something in the wrong place? Growing up on Sesame Street, there was a song that used to go, "One of these things is not like the other." Well, at the end of chapter 16, there's the start of another section where Moses is switching gears and talking about judges, courts, and obeying the law. Unfortunately, when the chapters were broken up, some of the stuff from one chapter got put in the wrong chapter. But hey, nobody asked me, right? I would have told them. At the end of chapter 16, we read, "Appoint judges and officials for each of your tribes in every town the Lord your God is giving you, and they shall judge the people fairly. Do not pervert justice or show partiality. Do not accept a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the innocent. Follow justice and justice alone so that you may live and possess the land the Lord your God is giving you. Do not set up any wooden Asherah pole beside the altar to build to the Lord your God, and do not erect a sacred stone, for these the Lord your God hates." Chapter 17 opens up with the conclusion of this thought, and then kicks into what to do about it if you find someone who needs to get busted. Chapter 17, verse 1 says, "Do not sacrifice to the Lord your God an ox or a sheep that has any defect or flaw in it, for that would be detestable to him." Then verses 2 through 7 give instructions specifically to the judges. The judge was a traveling prophet who heard cases. Moses had set these up as the 12 tribes were all walking through the desert. But now that they were going to be spread throughout the land and divided by tribes, each tribe would need to appoint judges that heard the cases of that area. The judges were kind of like Judge Dredd from Mega City 1 in science fiction literature. Well, actually from 2000 AD comics. In it, Judge Dredd plays a role of a judge, jury, and executioner in the famous 1980s British punk cyber comic. One of the famous judges was Samuel the prophet in the Old Testament, and the book of Judges tells us of famous judges that sought to bring the nation of Israel back to seeking God almost immediately after taking possession of the promised land. Why? Because the Israelites were naughty boys and girls pretty soon into the promised land. And thus, God raises up the judges who get down to business. What business, you ask? Well, judging, of course. But beyond the judges were the law courts in verses 8 through 13. If the judges were unable to come to a decision, they would take it to the council of Levites and be heard. Both the law courts and the judges are necessary, quote, "to purge the evil from among you," according to verse 7, and words repeated in verse 12. Paul appeals to this passage when bringing an accusation against an elder in 1 Timothy. He tells them that every matter needs to be heard in the presence of two or three witnesses. Where did Paul get that from? Deuteronomy chapter 17, baby. He also tells the Romans to submit to the authorities God has put into place, quote, "as they bear the sword to purge evil," unquote. In other words, Paul and Moses see governments as a man-made system that God allows to keep evil in check so that a society is possible. After all, if we didn't have these things, it'd be kind of like the Wild West. Or as the book of Judges says, in those days, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And everybody knows that a society can't function or thrive like that. Lastly, in this chapter, Moses talks about the highest authority in the land, the king. Now, the history of kings was a rocky one in Israel. For one thing, the people wanted a king to lead them instead of God himself, so it kind of got off to a bad start. After all, God scared them, and therefore they wanted someone with skin on, someone who wouldn't freak them out as bad or flash fire and thunder from a mountain when talking to them. And that's why Moses met with God in a tent. But they still didn't like God being in their camp, and all of the pagan nations around them had kings, and well, that seemed to be working pretty well for them. So they went to Moses and they said, "Hey, we want a king." At the end of the age of judges, Samuel, the latest and greatest of the judges, tells the people, "Hey, you don't need a king." But they kept shouting him down, telling them that they wanted one regardless. "But he'll take your children to war," Samuel said. "He'll take the best of your crops and your produce and your livestock. He'll tax you. Look, There's a huge downside to this, and ultimately, he'll lead you into idolatry. But this all sounded great to the Israelites, who were tired of being second-class citizens. They want to be like everyone else, like kids will wear any dopey thing, as long as it's the fashion. They wanted to have a king tell them what to do and boss them about and tax them and lead them astray. Why? Because they didn't want to follow God. So in verse 14, Moses says, "When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, and you say, 'Let us set a king over us, like the nations around us,' be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses." Of course, that would turn out to be David, the greatest king they'd ever have, the only one God chose. Every other king would fail to ever measure up. But the king had to read the book of Deuteronomy, according to this passage, every year. To start, he'd need to write the entire thing out by hand. You're just listening to Through the Word, but how cool would that be? Man, would you know Deuteronomy by the end of that. The king would have to be super familiar with the book of Deuteronomy, internalize it, and quote, "read it all the days of his life so he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees," verse 20, "and not consider himself better than his fellow Israelites and turn from the law to the right or the left. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel." In other words, the king wasn't to think himself over the law or over the common man. He wasn't allowed to be like a police officer speeding down the road to get to the donut shop with the sirens on, placing himself in a place above the law. In fact, when Satan comes to tempt Jesus, he tries to get Jesus to act like God and not a submissive son. "Hey, Jesus, use your God powers. Don't suffer for humanity. You don't have to do all this. You're God. You can do whatever in the heck you want." Of course, you know if you've studied the temptation of Jesus, that Jesus exclusively responds back to Satan by quoting, you guessed it, the book of Deuteronomy. You see, Moses is saying the king has to be under the law like everyone else. It doesn't matter what fancy hat or badge you wear. Even Jesus himself, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, completely obeyed the law when he was here. He submitted himself to God as his Father. He himself was our King. He was our Judge. And yet Hebrews tells us that he was, quote, made to learn obedience, that he could be called our brother and could sympathize with those who were being tempted. He submitted and obeyed perfectly for you and me. That kind of humility would be the example of how we ought to obey God and perfectly look to please him. Well, read Deuteronomy chapter 17 today. And as you do, thank God that he sent his son who became the servant king.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word.